live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team continues to monitor local conditions closely as Storm Lorenzo makes its way across the country. The government has failed to give a definitive timeline as to when the remainder of beds on the short stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital will reopen. A Donegal deputy claims people have to die to allow others access home help hours. And a Donegal County Councillor has hit out over what he claims is a lack of action from government to address water issues in West Donegal. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Storm Lorenzo will bring winds of up to 130 kilometres per hour in some areas this evening. Orange and yellow weather warnings are in place across the country. Casey O'Rourdan reports from Galway.
In an hour's time, a status orange wind warning comes into effect for Galway, Mayo, Clare, Kerry and Limerick. Damage to property is expected as winds reach up to 130 kilometres per hour. Meanwhile, Wexford, Cork, Tipperary and Waterford will come under a yellow wind warning. Both warnings are in place until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Storm defence preparations have been ongoing across the country today. Gary McMahon from Galway City Council says it made 20,000 sandbags available to the public.
A lot of local residents, local businesses have been coming, picking up sandbags to protect their premises, their doorways.
Minister Owen Murphy says the country is prepared for Storm Lorenzo.
We are bracing to see how Storm Lorenzo impacts, but we are prepared. The National Emergency Coordination Group will meet again tomorrow morning. The National Directorate for Fire and Emergency Management will remain on alert today and into the night.
Flooding can be expected across Connacht, Leinster, Cavan, Monaghan and Donegal as a status yellow rain warning is in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Casey O'Riordan in Galway.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team continues to monitor local conditions closely as the storm hits Ireland. The council is urging the public to remain vigilant. People are asked to prepare for power outages and motorists are advised to take extra care when driving during stormy weather and be mindful of the risk of falling trees and debris. The government has failed to give a definitive timeline as to when the remainder of beds on the short stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital will reopen. As part of last year's budget, a commitment was given to reopen all 20 beds. However, so far 10 have reopened in the ward, with only 5 of them funded by government. Minister of State for Health Catherine Byrne, in responding to Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin in the Shannon today, said the opening of the remaining beds is still being considered.
It is in the most recent update in the department that the HSE has advised that the 10 short-term ward beds in total opened in June 2019. An opening of 9 further beds is under consideration, but to date no time has been given for the opening of those extra beds.
But Senator McLaughlin says the solution is simple.
It's not good enough. It's just not good enough. The Minister for Health is only superseded by the Taoiseach. And Taoiseach said in recent days, he apologised. He apologised to all the people in the emergency department. Apologies are no longer any good. People need hope. People need to believe that it's going to change. Now, whatever about the reform of the wider health system, there were 20 beds that were closed and we were promised they'd be reopened. It's very simple. You provide the funding for the nurses and the beds to get it reopened. And the government haven't done it. They've broke their promise, broke their word. So I'm holding them to account. I'm not going to go away. And what I'm saying very clearly here today is that we need to see all 20 beds. I'm asking, Minister, that you would send the transcript to both Minister Joe McHugh and Minister for Health Simon Harris. I'll get the transcript from Highland Radio if need be and remind them of the words that they said, to keep their promise, keep their word, get those beds reopened and give the people of Donegal and the nurses and doctors in that hospital some hope. Stop the apologies, give us some hope and give us some solutions.
It's been claimed that people have to die to allow others access home help hours. There are further calls on the government to address the crisis as part of Budget 2020 after recent figures show that there was a 40% increase in those approved but unable to access hours in Donegal over a three-month period. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher told the Dáil today that this can no longer be allowed to continue.
Wipe it out at the expense of the old, the weak and the vulnerable. And I know what the Taoiseach said earlier, there's more money going into it. That's no good to the people that I represent, to the 94-year-old person in Donegal, the 92-year-old, who have been told 20 weeks ago that they're approved but not been implemented. Taoiseach, please don't tell us that there'll be money in the budget. Something has to be done quickly. And of course, I would suggest, and I hope I'm wrong, that some people have to die now before their neighbours are allocated home help hours. Don't let that happen during our watch. Where there's billions in the country, please look after those who helped to build up our country over the years. I'm extremely concerned for all of these.
Could you at least, Minister,
suggest to the relevant minister that he should meet with interested deputies during the course of next week, budget or no budget?
Boris Johnson's Brexit plan has been described as a repackaging of old, bad ideas by EU negotiators. The double border proposal has been rejected by the EU but could still be the basis for further talks. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
There's been reaction to Britain's proposals all over Europe today. In London, Boris Johnson told his parliament it's a good plan and put it up to the EU to accept.
If our European neighbours choose not to show a corresponding willingness to reach a deal, then we shall have to leave on October the 31st without an agreement.
In Dublin, Taoiseach Simon Coveney said there were some positives, but it's not a runner as it is.
While these proposals are a step in the right direction, they will need to evolve further, I think, if there's going to be a basis for agreement.
In Brussels, European Parliament Brexit coordinator Guy Verhofstadt said that there were three problems, that the proposals would harm the all-island economy in Ireland, there's a lack of detail, and it puts the deal under the custody of the DUP. Leo Varadkar said similar things on a diplomatic trip to Sweden and wouldn't get drawn on what he thinks will happen next.
The politics of it changes and can change quite quickly and often in surprising ways, so I'll not look in the crystal ball just today.
So this isn't what will form a deal, but the Taoiseach Simon Coveney has hinted today that it may be the push to talks that actually get something done. The clock, though, is ticking very loudly indeed. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, the Health Minister is urging patients not to stockpile their medication in the run-up to Brexit. Simon Harris says the UK's exit from the EU isn't leading to medicine shortages here, and stockpiling medication could affect supplies for other patients. That's despite the fact many medicines available on the Irish market are made in or transported through the UK. But Minister Harris says the country has enough supplies to cope with any Brexit delays.
So we're not predicting shortages arising from Brexit, but we will obviously need to monitor very closely. You can imagine one of the difficulties might be a delay at a port or the likes. And what I'm saying is that we have enough supply so that by the time someone's through that delay, the medicine would be replenished again.
A Donegal County Councillor has hit out over what he claims is a lack of action from government to address water issues in West Donegal. It's after yet another significant outage today, which is said to be affecting the Clonhilly and Gidore areas. Irish Water says crews have been tasked to the scene and are currently working on the issue. Councillor Micheál Colmigill-Osbach says the communities deserve better.
Yet again, we see ourselves without water around the whole area of Maroti, Portacurran, Cornsport, Clashahoom and Lara. Because of, I suppose, consistent failures of governments to adequately fund our water infrastructure. I met with Irish Water Monday morning, and again, I stressed the importance that there's money found to put in proper infrastructure in this area. We have a multi-story that is close to bed, that alone, not alone that it affects that business, but it affects the families that uses that very important and well-run business. When Irish Water is saying to me that there's no funding for this year and it might be considered for 2020, we don't need consideration, we need action. We have a committee there now and we're going to be going round door to door with a petition to try to mobilise the community to put more pressure on the state to put proper funding where it's needed. If this was another area what I call it, down on the East Coast, no doubt they would have moved a lot sooner than what they have moved. Granted, I get it that there's a fair bit of infrastructure needed, but at least give the announcement that that money's there to start this works. It is not acceptable in 2019 that we have scores and scores, if not hundreds of homes, without water.
Around one in five personal injury claims reported to two of the biggest insurance companies are believed to be fraudulent. Aviva and AIG have both been appearing before an Oireachtas committee to discuss the rising cost of insurance. Zurich have also been asked why they only reported 4% of suspected fake claims they received in 2018 to Gardaí. Donegal Deputy and Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson Piers Doherty says they have an obligation to refer those cases on.
I don't understand this, because you've got a situation where an insurance company didn't pay out on claims that were made because you believe they were fraudulent, and only four of them were reported to the Gardaí. How does that sit with Section 19 of the Criminal Justice Act, where you are under an obligation to report suspicions of fraud to the Gardaí, and failure to do so could result in up to 3 years imprisonment?
Over 1 million euros worth of cattle has been stolen over the past decade. According to official Department of Agriculture records, 114 cattle have been stolen from farms across Donegal. The department figures show that less than 4% of the 2,220 cattle stolen nationally have been recovered. Barry Casting, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, says in most cases, these thefts are premeditated.
Which places it about 6 or 7? It's definitely not up there with the likes of, say, Monaghan or Louth or Meath, which seem to be a concentration for these thefts, but it certainly does feature prominently.
And what has been done to counteract this issue?
Well, I suppose it can be a hard one to deal with. I suppose these gangs that do this, they work very organised, they know what they're doing. Farms are picked out, they're targeted, they're watched for a number of days before the cattle are taken. It's definitely not a case of someone drives along and sees an opportune moment. So these, like any crime, it can be hard to pin these people down. As everyone says, there's always suspicions of who might be responsible. But it's the proof that is the real difficult part.
And is there anything that farmers can do on the ground to, I suppose, maybe identify these cattle a bit better if they were stolen, or even preventative measures going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we have a very, very thorough traceability system here in this country. We have the cattle tags, we have the whole thing, But the problem is that, again, these guys are working in such organised fashion with people on various different levels to make sure that these animals can never be traced and never tracked back to anybody. And I suppose for farmers, the real key is to be aware, I suppose. People can innocently buy things, but, sometimes things can be too good to be true, and I suppose it's to know when things are too good to be true.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with Rugby Ireland's bid to qualify for the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup is back on track with a bonus point 35-0 win over Russia. Rob Kearney, Peter O'Mahony and Rhys Ruddock scored first half tries as Ireland built up a 21-0 half-time advantage. Andrew Conway and Gary Ringrose added tries in the last 20 minutes to ensure Joe Smith's side collected 5 points ahead of next week's final pool game against Samoa. Head coach Joe Smith was happy with the scoreline.
I think there were more things that pleased me, definitely. We started really well again. We got those two early tries, as we did last time. And then we made a bit of hard work of it. I think one of the plans we had for this evening was to try to get a few scores early if we could, because speaking to the guys who played here the last two times, the longer the game goes, the more moisture there is in the air, on the ground and on the ball and on the player themselves. So we knew it was going to get more and more difficult as time went on, and that was probably a little bit of consternation in that third quarter where we didn't get the bonus point try. But thankfully it was great to see Andrew Conway streak away and get that try, and then probably to finish with the best try of the night at the end. I think just to get that 35 point differential. To keep a clean sheet is always great, because the Russians have certainly got a bit to offer.
Meanwhile, Smith says the squad will be given the weekend off with two new entries to contend with. Joey Carberry is said to be fine, despite being a late withdrawal from the replacement's bench, while it's feared Jordy Murphy injured his ribs in the first half. Earlier in the day, Fiji went second in Pool D by picking up a first one of the tournament. They ran on seven tries in the 45-10 bonus point win over Georgia. To soccer now. Manchester United are without Paul Pogba for this evening's Europa League Group L game away to AZ Alkmaar. The match has been played at The Hague, 70 miles away from the Dutch club's home after the stadium roof collapsed. The alternative venue has a plastic pitch, and manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is worried.
I'm surprised that they've chosen to play on this pitch when they had to. When I've looked at it, because it's not the best I've seen. It's one of the worst ones I've seen for a long while.
That game starts at 5-6. At the same time, Wolves are in Turkey to face Besiktas in Group K. Rangers are hoping to make it 2-1-2 in Group G, with their game away to Young Boys in Bern. At 8, Arsenal welcome Standard Liège to the Emirates. And in Group E, Celtic in action tonight as well at Parkhead as they take on Romanian champions Cluj. Sheffield United manager Chris Wilder expects David McGoldrick to play some part in the Republic of Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifiers this month. The striker wasn't included in Mick McCarthy's squad of 24 for the games away to Georgia and Switzerland due to a hamstring injury. Wilder says the Premier League side are working hard to help McGoldrick back in time to travel. On the boxing front, WBO European champion Tyrone McCullough has had his opponent changed one day before he's due in the ring for his opening bout in the Golden Contract Tournament in England. The Derry boxer will now face Rasik Najib after Mexican Carlos Arzu pulled out of the competition, having failed to make the weight at this afternoon's weigh-in. McCullough steps up to featherweight for the tournament as eight fighters battle for a two-year, five-fight deal with MTK. In his professional career to date, McCullough is undefeated 13 super bantamweight bouts. In other boxing news, Kira Smith is through to the last 16 of the Women's World Championships. The Kevin Southpaw got a unanimous victory over Tyler Robertson in the lightweight division today. Smith will meet number one seed Mai Chopang next week in the quarterfinals. Kieran McGeehan returns to track action in Doha tonight in the semi-finals of the 1500 metres at the World Championships. The Lisburn athlete qualified automatically via her finish in the heats yesterday. That semi-final gets underway at 9 Irish time, with the first five in each semi-final to make the final, along with the two fastest losers. In golf, the opening day off the Spanish Open hasn't been kind to Irish players. Michael Hoy is currently 2 over with 4 to play of his opening round. Gavin Moynihan and Paul Dunne are in the clubhouse on 3 over and 4 over respectively, while Norway's Christian Korg Jansen is the clubhouse leader there at 8 under following a 63. Finally, just to let you know of a new sports programme which will air tonight on Highland, Dermot Doherty will have The Score, a brand new sports programme just after the 7 o'clock news. He'll be joined by Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan to look ahead to the big clash with UCD tomorrow night at Finn Park. Plus, he'll be talking to Ulster Senior League representative assistant manager Gavin Cullen as they head for Dublin for the Interprovincials this weekend. Three-time winner of the Dr. Maguire Cup, Gary McDade, will look at the semi-finals of the Donegal Senior Football Championship. And boxer Brett McGinty will be telling us all about his plans in the professional ranks. Plus, our guest in studio will be Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. That's The Score, which airs tonight for the very first time just after the 7 news. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, Donegal County Council has confirmed that a review of pay and display car parking charges has begun, and councillors will be updated shortly on the matter. The review is proposed to consider existing tariffs and also consider the feasibility of expanding pay and display coverage to areas currently not included. It follows calls for both Ballybofey and Stranorder to be facilitated with half an hour free parking, as in the case in other towns in Donegal. Local councillor Gary Doherty is hopeful that this review could pave the way for this to happen on a trial basis.
I think it's a worthwhile venture to have a look at, and I would hope that when Donegal County Council is undergoing this process, I think there'll be a public consultation period as well. So I would hope that residents and businesses in the Twin Towns area would feed into that as well, so that we get a proper scope of what the feeling is in both towns as to where the council should go on this issue.
Trade Union Forza has welcomed a U-turn by Education Minister Joe McHugh in response to industrial action by school secretaries. The Department of Education had been refusing to go to talks at the Workplace Relations Commission. Local spokesperson and school secretary Kathleen O'Doherty is welcoming the breakthrough. However, she says it's important that something of substance comes from the talks.
It's easy to say we will talk and, you know, we don't want to be left sitting any longer. The fact that we had such support yesterday across the political side of people, we do know that they're behind us. We do know that they would like to see this sorted once and for all. I mean, Leinster House, the legislators of Ireland, were there. They would like to see it settled.
And finally, a new charge on all new petrol and diesel cars as well as used imports is expected to be introduced in next week's budget. The charges would be linked to nitrogen oxide and other pollutants and would apply on the polluter pays principle. That means higher surcharges for higher emitting cars. Barry Aldworth of AA Ireland outlines the charges motorists can expect.
So for new petrol cars, you're looking at a charge depending on the emissions band of between around €100 up to around €250. For a new diesel car, you're looking at a maximum of somewhere in the region of €300. The charges for imports haven't been announced just yet, but we'd expect them to be a bit higher than that. And I think, again, that's the path to take. Make imports less enticing.
Weather now continuing windy for a time tonight, but winds will ease later as the centre of Lorenzo tracks across Ireland. Rain will return, turning heavy for a time with a risk of spot flooding and lowest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal County Council Severe Weather Assessment Team continues to monitor local conditions closely as Storm Lorenzo hits Ireland. The council is urging the public to remain vigilant. The government has failed to give a definitive timeline as to when the remainder of beds on the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital will reopen. As part of last year's budget, a commitment was given to reopen all 20 beds. However, so far 10 have reopened on the ward, with only 5 of them funded by government. A Donegal County Councillor has hit out over what he claims is a lack of action from government to address water issues in West Donegal. It's after yet another significant water outage today, which is said to be affecting the Clohanaeli and Gidore areas. And it's been claimed that people have to die to allow others access home help hours. There are further calls on the government to address the crisis as part of Budget 2020, after recent figures show that there was a 40% increase in those approved but unable to access hours in Donegal over a 3-month period. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Thursday evening, October the 3rd. The death has occurred of Padraig O'Grady, later Fraheeny East, Lahey and formerly of Balnacarrow, County Sligo. Padraig's remains will repose at the family home at Fraheeny East, Lahey from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from the family home on Saturday afternoon at 20 past 2 for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Donegal Town. Interment afterwards in St Agatha's Churchyard, Clare. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the day of the funeral. The death has taken place of Robert Peoples, Gordon Eskey, Kilmacrennan. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral arrangements are to be confirmed later. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Surgical 2 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors or any family member. The death has occurred of Michael Heaney, Dunwiley Stranorder and formerly Heaney's Bar and Restaurant Bally Buffet. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorder at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Jumbo Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, if so desired, to the Oncology Ward, Beacon Hospital, Sandyford, Dublin, care of any family member. The house is private at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Patrick Conaghan, Crickenmore, Dunlow and formerly of Aramore Island. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Columbus Church Acres, with interment in Belcrutch Cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to Medical 3 Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. The death has occurred in Glenrothes, Scotland, of Annette McVeigh. Remains reposing at the home of her sister and brother-in-law Margaret and Gerard Call, Claggan, Port Salon, this evening from 6 o'clock. Fiona leaving there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church, Massmount at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary each night at 9 o'clock, family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary Elizabeth Porter, known as May, Mahara Boy, Killy Gordon, remains reposing at her home. Fiona leaving her home tomorrow afternoon at 1:15 for 2 o'clock service in Lower Dunamore Church of Ireland, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjacent graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice and Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, funeral director. Family time from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has occurred of Edward O'Gara, formerly of Mina Waterin, Glencolum Kill. Remains reposing at Mount Charlotte's Funeral Home, Station Road, until 8 o'clock tonight. Removal from Gallagher's Funeral Home in Mount Charlotte's at 6:15 tomorrow evening to arrive at St. Columba's Church, Carrick at 6:45. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. Family flowers only. And the death has occurred of Muriel Berry, formerly of Greenan Loch Esk, at Donegal Town. Funeral service in Christchurch Loch Esk at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, followed by burial in the Glebe Cemetery, Donegal Town. Family flowers only, how strictly private, please.